Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Lapdown Podcast. It has been a crazy week at Vegas. We're going to talk about it. How are we doing today, guys?
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Doing pretty good.
All right. So, first and foremost, thank you to the Acolyte Project for doing the intro to the Lapdown Podcast. Check out their album Blood World on any streaming platform that you can get music, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, whatever, YouTube, whatever piece you're fancy. Thank you for that. Let's see here. I want to go round robin here. We got Tyler on here with us. We got Ben. We got Ryan. We got Tino back to back. Welcome back, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Right, let's dig right into it, shall we? Before we do so, I have a pop quiz for you guys. Based off of average lap time in Las Vegas, each one of you, without looking it up, who do you think had the best average lap time for the entire race?
Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, probably Reddick.
I'm going to say either Christopher Bell or Tyler Reddick. I agree.
No, Bell had like three or four flat tires in the race, and that's going to slow his average race pace
down. Okay, maybe not.
I'm going to
go with like William Byron or Kyle Larson. Then.
I'm going to go
William
Homer.
Byron also had an unfortunate pit stop, so I'm assuming it would have to be one of the guys. I mean, Reddick was near the front almost all day. Was able to run down Larson on multiple occasions, so I'm going to say Reddick.
Okay, so Ryan's official submission is Reddick. Tino, your official submission, you said Reddick as well?
Yes.
All right. What was yours, Ben?
His was Gibbs, I think.
Yeah, his was Gibbs. And Tyler, what was yours?
I'm gonna go with William Byron.
William Byron. So this is something I'm actually gonna start keeping track of each week because it was kind of interesting to me. The number one average lap time for the entire race was a 30.087, and your leader in average lap time is Ryan Preece.
Oh, okay.
Because it was back in pack. I can see because it was back in pack with the draft and stuff like that.
Yes. But the next sitting at number two at 30.092 was Tyler Reddick.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense to do with Paul.
He was closing it on Larson almost every at the end of almost every stage and race.
Yeah, they started gaining a little bit of speed once they got near the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so once you latched on to Larson's draft, he was one lap too short.
On all three metrics.
Yeah. Bubba helped a little bit too. One lap short.
But let's go ahead and talk about that finish, though, or the last 15 laps heading up to the finish. I want to get you guys' perspective. Do you think with the amount of speed that Larson has shown the entire race, if he would have been able to hold off Reddick for at least another lap or two with how quickly he caught up to him?
It depends on the tires and if he could defend him from the top line, because Reddick easily had a faster car than Larson. It was basically if Kyle Larson could defend. And I don't think he could. Reddick was easily a faster car.
And whether or not Reddick is willing to Joey Logano into the back bumper of the 5 car.
But Reddick is a respectful racer, and I actually give him kudos for that.
Yeah, I just remember back in, I think it was 2017, when Logano got into the back bumper of Kyle Busch, stopping either one of them from being able to run down, I think it was MTJ at the time, for the win.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could have seen a situation like that where the two of them get into each other and potentially allow a third car into the mix if that race had been a little bit longer, but...
Yeah. What do you think, Tino?
I think that that Reddick would have caught him, and, I mean, I don't know if Reddick would have won the race still. I mean, obviously, you're talking about Kyle Larson, one of the best drivers in the world right now. about to, I mean, to be off topic a little bit, about to go drive an IndyCar and the 500 this year, I believe, right? So that's a big deal. You know, this gets the best driver in the world right now. So would Tyler Reddick have won the race? Probably not, but he would have definitely caught Kyle Larson.
He did catch him.
You're slapping the best in the world logo on Kyle Larson's name.
I mean, I would say so right now. Right now, he's the best in the world.
Best in the world. So NASCAR in the world in all motorsports.
I wouldn't say all motorsports, but NASCAR and probably dirt.
Hold on, Let's hear from Tina before you give your remarks.
I'm going to say NASCAR and dirt. And then you got Max Verstappen, who's just taking over the world in the F1 world. So, I mean, you can't really. I think
Larson's up there, though. But if I think Larson's up there in the stock car world, like he could rival and Max Verstappen. He's Max Verstappen of NASCAR, pretty much.
I mean, I think we're looking at another maybe 5-time champion.
Oh, easily. Hands down.
Which is a big deal. Future Hall of Famer.
Four or five-time
champion.
No one's actually gotten to 5 championships without also getting 6 and 7. But also with how the championships are awarded in NASCAR these days, I mean, it is very hard to even get 2 championships. I mean, look at guys like Logano, Harvick, Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch has been great
for many, many years of this playoff format.
Jeff Gordon
wasn't at the top of his game for this playoff format for very long.
If Logano would have pulled out those gloves a few years ago, he probably would have been a champion again. You know, I'm just kidding.
My personal opinion. I'm going to go back to that. Honestly, I'm going to go back to that. The Final Four. Kyle Larson hasn't missed a Final Four since joining Hendrick Motorsports. If you think about that.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Nah.
Just think about that.
You also factor in that in a race that is a 4-way fight for the title, he's what, 1 for 4? I mean, that's on odds, but it's one of those things where label someone the best in the world.
1 and 3.
Oh, he's only been 23. Oh, yeah, 2021, 2022, 2023.
Yep. 1 and 3, so... He's a Chevy 1 in 2021, and then 2022, 2023 have been dominated by Ford.
Yep. I mean, he's a little bit above odds, but I mean, at this point, he's, again, it's one of those things where it seems like it's extremely hard to try and win back-to-back or even just 2 championships under this championship 4 format.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think, Jamie?
I think Kyle Larson is in the conversation of great drivers in the world, but I would not put him in the elite tier if we're talking all around.
Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry.
I'm talking like you're talking about Lewis Hamilton, Verstappen, Dixon. Joseph Newgarden,
Franchitti, Tony Kanaan, not Tony Kanaan, Helio Castroneves, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. These are just active drivers. We're not even talking like people of the past who
Mario
have just at Mario Andretti, AJ Foyt, those kind of guys. So I think Kyle Larson is building a case to potentially get his name into that upper echelon. But he's still got a ways to go, so I'm not ready to put any type of labels on him. Yes, he's crazy talented. Yes, he's probably the most talented driver that NASCAR has at the current moment, hence why he's doing the double. But it's still a long way to go before you can start putting his name with the likes of them.
I'm actually going to say something. I think he's going to have a very similar career to Tony Stewart.
I mean, it's similar. Both come from dirt track backgrounds and can be aggressive when they need to be, but Larson had a cooler temper than Tony Stewart ever did.
Yep.
Yeah, I think one thing which the Tony Stewart and him have in common is they don't sign many autographs.
I've met Kyle Larson. Yeah, I've actually asked him at dirt track. He's not a fan of the media. He's getting better, but he's not a fan of it.
That's all right, man. You know,
there's Danny. Ooh.
I can never, I will never be able to take that pressure for that the drivers take every week. So,
oh, God, no.
For me
no.
to say that, you know.
Mm-mm.
And welcome, Denny, to the podcast. Welcome, Denny.
Yep.
Denny.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
How we doing?
How's it going, man?
But going pretty good.
What we're gonna do now is still talking about Las Vegas and recapping. We're gonna go around the table here, and I want you to give me a winner and a loser, from Las Vegas. So your winner will be your green flag. Your loser will be your black flag. So we will start with Tyler. Who is your winner and loser for Las Vegas?
I don't know if I'm stealing this from Andrew. My huge winner is definitely Corey LaJoie and the Spire Motorsports. That 7 car easily was top 10, top 5 speed all day. And he was even, I think, the top 3 for as part of the part of the race today, last Monday. I think that's a huge one, Corey LaJoie. And I think if he can keep that speed up, he can easily contend for the playoffs. Now my loser is Stuart. Unfortunately, guys, even though they finished top 10, the Stuart Haas guys, that penalty hit them hard. And I still don't. I don't think they're going to recover and make even one race. It's still one race. I don't think they're going to recover.
Yeah, I mean that kind of is unfortunately the bad start that Stuart Haas has had for the start of the season. They didn't really light the world on fire at Daytona or Atlanta. So then the talk was, oh, maybe they'll get their act together and get some good performances at an actual track, a mile and a half. And yeah, not good. Not good at all. Ben, give me a winner and a loser for Las Vegas.
I'm definitely going to say Noah Gragson. Just for him itself. Loser-wise? Yeah. Bubba this week. Definitely. He had a really bad race. Of course, it had a lot to do with bad luck, too, with the luck nut.
Yeah.
That there's nothing Bubba could do there, dude.
But, yeah, that, like, if he would have ran with Tyler Reddick a little bit near the end there instead of just moving out of his way, maybe gotten behind him or done something, maybe he would have caught. But,
yeah, going... Coming into Las Vegas as the only driver to score top tens in the first two races in the season.
Top five to, as well.
That's another question. Yeah. Actually. Martin Truex, where did he finish?
Where did he?
Seventh place.
Seventh.
Okay, so he continued his streak still with 10th place in a row. So that's still intact. So he gets a green flag,
yeah, but...
It's a good one.
But Bubba Wallace went into Vegas as the only driver to score two top fives going into the season and then had a catastrophic day that couldn't have gone any worse for him, going 13 laps down after having he had a strong car, but ended up finishing 35th, and all due to that lug nut on the left front tire being stuck.
That was
there was some talk about like cordless impact and things like that, and potentials of for those pit stops. But NASCAR put out that the reason why they don't use cordless impacts is because they tend to, one, there's a lack in performance with them, but two, there's a possibility that it puts it on too tight, as opposed to the air pressure cords that are connected to them. It helps them hit reach peak performance, as well as getting that one single lug nut to for that pin to get in nice and sync with the tires.
And you have consistent power instead of having like, especially with the cordless ones, having to change batteries every consistently.
Yes, that was implied with the peak performance. But I I do like that you specified that. That way anyone who's listening does understand what I meant by peak performance. So I appreciate that, Tyler. Kino, give me your winner and your loser for Las Vegas.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Who are you waiting for? Are you waiting for Rumble?
Tino.
Oh, Tino. Come on, Tino. Let's go.
I don't know if he's talking or not, but he might be muted.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. My bad, guys. So the winner of the race, in my opinion, we're gonna have Chase Elliott, man. He started way back in the back. Worked his way up, stayed up in the front. He had a lucky caution come out, and that pretty much set him up for some pit stops. And he stayed up in the front all day, got a 12th place finish. So, you know, got to give it to my dog Chase Elliott. So good run on that on his behalf. For the losers, we're gonna have to go with RFK this week. On first stage, we're going to have Chris Buescher. His wheel falls off, and he finishes dead last. And, I mean, for his first two races, he was nowhere to be seen. RFK has been just really struggling this year. Brad Kay, we could talk about him as well. He got 33rd at Daytona, 33rd at Atlanta, and he got 13th at Las Vegas. So... yeah, I mean, that's a great, great finish for Brad Kay as well, for, you know, bouncing back from those bad finishes at Daytona, Atlanta. But for my losers this week, RFK, are they going to bounce back? That's a big question.
That big question going into the desert coming up this coming Sunday. Ryan, give me your winner and loser.
All right. Am I able to put myself down for both the winner and the loser? Because my pick from last week on the race picks, how many times can one car implode in one race without technically being knocked out of the race? Because Christopher Bell, he got up into the fight like two or three different times, and then it's like, flat tire, some other unknown issue. Every like 5 minutes it was, and it's like, come on. Gives me hope just in time to take it away. But you know,
playing with your emotions.
Yeah. But on my video on Friday, though, that I put out, I named three drivers who were both at, or who were all at 10,000 odd, at plus 10,000 odds, were ones to watch for the weekend. Those three drivers were Chase Briscoe, who then later qualified sixth place, Carson Hocevar, who ran and finished 15th. He actually ran close to the top 10 almost all day long. And then Corey LaJoie was the other one I highlighted, and as we mentioned, he ran inside the top five for a decent part of the day before some sort of issue. I don't remember. I think he got spun off of Brad Keselowski's nose at one point and ended up finishing like 32nd, but had some great picks there.
It was just
Jamie, your mic's breaking up. A little bit more serious note. Another loser of the race for me would be Tyler Reddick, because it's impressive to lose the race three different times within one race. Coming up short at the end of stage one, at the end of stage two, and at the end of the race to the same driver in all three instances.
Another person you really got to worry about is Harrison Burton. How long is he going to really hold on to that seat with the Wood Brothers?
I think that question comes down to what Ford has in the development pipeline, because they don't have much for seats in trucks or Xfinity aside from, I guess, the Thor Sport guys. I mean, maybe Ben Rhodes might be looking to move up, but he more seems like a truck lifer at this point.
I mean, How much does he pass? Does he get for his last name, though?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's that. But I look at it just as, again, like, okay, if you're gonna kick him out, who do you replace him with? Like, for truck development seats, you got Lane Riggs, who's in his first truck season with Front Row. You got Haley Deegan in Xfinity, who's in her first season of that, and hasn't necessarily lit the world on fire. Hasn't done terrible, but. It's one of those things where she's definitely not ready for promotion to Cup yet. then you've got a bunch of veterans at Thor Sport.
Honestly, I don't even think it's talent issue. I think it's the...
It's equipment?
Equipment, yeah. I think it's the equipment.
I mean, it might be. It's been a while since 21 has been in Victory Lane.
So. It's kind of like an average right now team. It's just blah.
Well, and again, again, I've said this every time someone's brought up this comment to me before, is like, you're going to argue to try and get rid of somebody. You should have somebody in the wings ready to take that ride rather than just wanting to get rid of somebody because they aren't doing well at that moment. If you don't have a better replacement, why get rid of them?
They should put me in there. I play NASCAR Heat 5. I'm ready to go.
Fair enough. Maybe you can be the next one you're firing. Going from race to winning races.
I love it. Rumble, since you're already on, give me a winner and a loser from Las Vegas.
Right. So this is easy. This is really easy. I'm going to go to my camera here. Super easy. I would like, the winner was the Wheel of Destiny picking Larson.
I knew you'd say that.
Right, that's number one. I just like to. I wish the Wheel of Destiny was in play every week because that worked out freaking great. And the loser, Buescher, for sure. I feel like that was the big mess up there, and that was really weird to see that tire coming apart like that, the wheel coming apart like that. Right, pretty strange.
Yeah.
So the big winner there was Rumble. That's what I got to say about that.
As for me, I would say the winner my winner for Vegas is Hendrick Motorsports in general.
Oh yeah.
This is now race 2 out of the 3 that Hendrick Motorsports has claimed a checkered flag on. So William Byron and Kyle Larson have already got themselves into the dance as far as we know at this moment.
Also the fourth Vegas spring race that Hendrick's won as well in a row.
Yep, that is correct. As well as for Chevy, who are playing.
Your mic's breaking up again. Yeah. Couldn't hear anything you were saying there. Your mic's breaking up again.
Just to touch base on what we were talking about earlier, the last time the Wood Brothers was in Victory Lane was Pocono in 2017 with the driver Ryan Blaney.
Yep. Win number 99.
Yeah, so.
Wow, that's a while ago.
Yes, sir. That's almost how many years? 10 years.
Coming up. Yeah, coming up. It's going up there. For
wow.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, that was also the last year Ryan Blaney was in that car, and the last year that Penske was only a 2-car team for the in-house Penske crew. Ever since then, Penske's been a 3-car in-house team. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, most of the engineers from that Penske, or from that Wood Brothers team were used to form the now number 12 team. Or number 2 team, I'm not sure, because they did a whole reshuffling a couple years ago, but... the entire, that one of those 3 Penske cars was, a lot of their personnel and everything was crafted from the 21 team from that season.
The 12 hasn't been in NASCAR since 2008. Or 2010, my bad. The 12 car hasn't been in NASCAR since 2010.
Yeah, the 12 car was added for Ryan Blaney to start the 2018.
Or re-added. Season. Re-added back.
Yeah, re-added back in 2018.
I could grab from my phone.
And a lot of, again, his crew chief and stuff from that 21 team where he won that race at Pocono were brought in-house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, essentially, the Wood Brothers had to rebuild from scratch, and it just doesn't seem like they've ever rebuilt. Whether it be Paul Menard, Matt DiBenedetto, or now Harrison Burton, who's been behind the
Harrison,
wheel.
Harrison Burton's been solid, though, that last two couple races.
Are we watching
Jamie,
the same?
Your mic back to working?
Drug test.
He popped back out.
I've already met with Roger Goodell this week. I'm clean.
What was your 40 time?
No, you're meeting with NASCAR's leadership this time.
I'm not reading with Robert Pemberton. Cancel that meeting.
But yeah, going back to something we talked about a bit ago, though, when it comes to the greatest driver discussion, I find it so hard to really compare some of the Formula One guys because they very rarely, if ever, set a foot outside of their designated motorsport, and F1 is, and I think we all know this at this point, F1 is very much an equipment-based series.
Pinkies up.
Depending on your, depending on what team you're a part of, if you're on a good team with a good car, it, as I say, drastically improves how you'll perform as a driver regardless. I mean,
so
the jump that Verstappen or Perez made when Red Bull went from being the second best team to the best team.
So one possible way of comparing Larson to the F1 is when he drives Indy. I mean, that's the closest way you're going to get a comparison right now, unless he drives an F1 car.
Yeah. And
we'll see how well
he allowed him to test a current car, because if you remember back to the Jimmy Johnson Fernando Alonso seat swap that they did a while back, they weren't even allowed to use a current F1 car due to F1's rules and regulations around testing current cars. Is that they weren't even allowed to use a current F1 car for that for that seat swap because they didn't want McLaren using that
to get some type of advantage. Yeah.
To try and,
I don't follow F1. I don't follow F1. But does anyone besides Red Bull win races in F1 anymore?
Ferrari won one race last year.
One race.
Yep,
that's impressive. Yeah, I would watch at all.
Another big topic that we can discuss is the ratings from F1 to NASCAR this year has been plummeting on the F1 side and really rising on the NASCAR side.
Of course it is, because
more parity.
Yeah, I think they're up by 9% from last year.
NASCAR is more hip with the audience. They are more with it. F1 is more for the pinkies up, I want to drink my wine type of people.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I actually feel the same way about that.
Sounds like tickets are expensive. Nova would be a pretty good combo then.
F1 is that'd be cool.
You got to think tickets are expensive for F1.
Pretty well there.
NASCAR, pretty reasonable tickets for the family to go out and have a good day at the NASCAR track for the whole weekend.
$25,000 ticket for an F1 race.
Can I say something real quick? The average, this is just for general admission, nothing else, the standing room, is average of $1,500. So that's without anything. That's without food, that's without...
You don't get anything.
It's just like
I can hear you now. Pretty good.
Yeah, we can hear you, Jamie.
I can hear you now. And
NASCAR, my general admission...
I'd rather go to my short track than an F1 race.
Yep. Fuck
that shit.
General admission for Watkins Glen was only $80.
Yep.
Is that an F1 race?
New NASCAR. That was a cup race. That's last.
Exactly.
Do they do F1 races at Watkins
Glen? No. The F1 races in America are Circuit of the Americas and then
Las Vegas and Miami. And
I forgot about Miami.
You're going to spend $100.
You don't even want to know what the skybox is. We got to get back on track here.
I have a question for y'all. I don't know if you guys have touched on this yet, but Rogers went in the truck. Have you guys?
We're going to get there here in a minute.
I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Sorry to get off topic, Jamie.
You're back in business.
How are we doing, buddy, over there?
Yeah, y'all can hear me better now, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. You sound
great. Yeah, we got you.
All right. What was the last part? Like, were you guys able to hear anything that I was saying as far as my winner and loser?
That was just breaking up.
Okay.
Nothing besides Hendrick Motorsports was your big winner.
Okay. So Hendrick Motorsports being my big winner. You got Kyle Larson locking in a win at Phoenix. You got William Byron locking in a win at Daytona 500. Already half of their team is locked into the playoffs. Also a win for Chevy. Chevy has claimed the dub in every single race in the 2024 season so far.
Love them both, guys.
got a red bow tie right here.
Love those bow ties.
But as far every as my
Nemechek won for Toyota in the Xfinity Series, that's the one race that wasn't won by Chevy in all three series.
That's one thing I do want to mention is Toyota has impressed me this season, because last week's race with Hamlin getting like knocked around like crazy, and that car lasted as long as it did.
Unless the next gen cars hit the wall with the towing, both cars are pretty much indestructible.
Yeah, except for the towing, which is critical.
For telling us the script for this coming week's NASCAR race, I just went and put in my pick for Kyle Larson.
Oh, son of a bitch. I was hoping for the Wheel of Destiny was going to help me out there.
We're going to get to that towards the end. We're going to get to that towards the end.
As much as I hate to say it,
Jamie,
I have to get ready for bed.
Phoenix.
All right, Jamie. What were you saying, buddy?
I have to get ready for bed, guys. My pick for this last weekend is actually the most recent winner at Phoenix, Ross Chastain, unless you guys want to do the wheel for him.
Okay, you can have Chastain.
It feels like the wheels should only be for Megan. So.
Good night, buddy.
Yep, see you, Tony.
Good night.
All right. So as far as my loser is concerned, my loser is Christopher Bell.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know Ryan kind of took him as his winner and loser, but I kind of got to agree with Ryan. Like, this guy who has had the most pressure that we can sense to going into the season for his team is just crumbling under that pressure. We're talking a 34th place finish in Atlanta, a 33rd place finish in Las Vegas last week. Now, granted, he had a flat tire that put him into the wall, and then later on spun. He's having a rough go of it. And then as another loser from Spire, Zane Smith, he opened up the season pretty good, finishing 13th at Daytona. But since then, 35th at Atlanta and 36th in Vegas. Not the trajectory that you want to go in your rookie campaign trying to make a name for yourself in the big leagues. If he can keep that car on the track, he's got a good shot. But he's just got to figure out how to finish a race at this point. What are your thoughts on Zane Smith?
Oh, I'm going to go with what you said. He needs to keep that car on track. Oh, that's pretty key, right? Pretty key to it.
I think Zane Smith, give him some time. He's a good driver. He'll get in there. He'll get used to the next gen car, which is a tough car to get used to. It took even the most experienced drivers in NASCAR a little while to get used to that car. It's just so different.
Absolutely.
I would say that give Zane Smith a little bit of time, I think, behind the wheel, and he'll get the skill he needs to get up to the front where I think he can get to.
It is so different. It really is.
Even with his direct comparison, because there's two rookies in Spire equipment this year, you have to factor in that Carson Osovar filled in for Corey LaJoie last year and then filled in for Noah Gragson when he got booted from the 42 late in the season. He got, about 11, 12 starts total last year in the Cup Series. I mean,
yeah.
While they're technically both rookies and competing for the Rookie of the Year honors, one of them is a true rookie and the other one has about a third of a season under his belt.
That is true. I would like to give that, and that definitely counts.
So that definitely counts. So he does have some experience there, much more experience in that series. That's a very valid point. Absolutely.
And I'll give an honorable mention in my loser's bracket I'm not necessarily going to give him a black flag. I'll probably give him a yellow flag. So this will be the first in podcast season of a yellow flag, and that is given to William Byron, who had a decent car, fast car, running in the dance, only to be sabotaged by a trash bag and finding a silver bullet beer can in his air filter.
He strikes again, Jimmy.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that is funny as shit. Sorry for swearing.
It looked more like a grill cover, or I thought it might have even been one of the car's rain covers that got loose.
Well, I mean, there was gusty winds, but I heard some people on the SiriusXM call it, it doesn't get any more American than having a beer can in your air filter. So congrats to William Byron for now hitting the American
grill dream. Cover, a beer can would fit. If it was a beer can and a grill cover, I could see that.
It's setting new levels of redneckedness. That's, I love it. I picked up a beer can off the track.
Rudy, you ain't going to believe this. Taylor Swift's in town. <Just kidding.
laughs> If I was William Byron, I would take advantage of this and come out with my own beer can called the trash bag.
Oh, yeah. That was just a horrible time for him, man. Having to run it so well and having to freaking pit because of that. Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm.
He was one of about two, three cars that could actually challenge Kyle Larson for the win. Damn, the other one being Kyle Busch, who got penalized on that last round of pit stops by being about an inch or two too far forward in the pit box.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Ryan. So I am noticing week in, week out, and I'm pretty sure we'll probably see it again next week in Phoenix.
Oh, please,
the level of competition in the NASCAR Cup Series, whether they have 35 drivers to 38 to 40, there's not that big of a gap from top to bottom. And pit road is going to be exciting again because your favorite driver's day is going to be made or broke on pit road. And there are certain drivers who just got to get it together. They can't seem to get out of their own way on pit road. And I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. We're in a great era for NASCAR racing.
Yes, we are.
I'm trying to give Kyle Busch immunity on pit road next week because this is 2 weeks in a row he's had pit road penalties.
Yeah, yeah. He's the reason why I'm not wearing the number 8 hat today, because I am just super salty.
Are you giving a penalty for being an inch too far forward?
Yeah. And then Bubba Wallace, another car who had a ton of speed. Couldn't get out of his pit crew's way with doing him any favors on pit road and just completely sabotaged his day.
Yeah, that was really rough.
That sounds like a Bubba problem.
I mean, it's a Toyota problem because that's always been the knock against Denny Hamlin is that he speeds on pit road too much. I mean,
well, when you're trying to be NASCAR's villain or toy, you tend to break the rules a little bit.
Seems like an easy fix to me. Don't speed on pit road.
Bubba Wallace couldn't help that his tire man screwed on that tire too tight. That's not Bubba's fault.
Well, I mean, usually you just click, you turn it down until you see that little notch click in.
Right.
Click out, and that's it. And just, there you go. I don't know how he would have over-tightened it. It doesn't make any sense.
I was actually looking at that. The America's Pit Crew guy there that does it, he actually showed, like, the cutaway car, like, where it actually notches in there. And don't drop that fucking thing off the jack until you're there, right? Like, I don't know. It's all happening so fast. I'm sure that it's obviously hard to coordinate, obviously, but, and you know, some people are very good at doing this, and some people seem to have constant issues. I don't know.
The 54 having issues on pit road,
just like
Joe Gibbs in general, having a really rough night on pit road. But I mean, that's what you're going to see whenever you go from five lugs to a single lug. your pit stops go, you're shortened. So you're going to have a lot faster coming in and out. It's just a lot going on.
Puts it's more tough, pressure. Man.
Yes, it's a lot more pressure on pit road, yep, just like Jamie was saying. NASCAR's back, baby. Let's go. I love this.
Yes.
You know, NASCAR being back. IndyCar returns this weekend as well.
I'm just not a fan of it. When these cars cut a tire down and they get high-sided on the banking there, and like, sorry, the you know what I mean? And they can't drive away. Like, what? It just, it's fucked up to me. It's what's going on here. When they had higher profile sidewalls, it wasn't an issue for them to cut a tire down and still get back to pit road. And now the high
car get beat now, in a while.
How long? How long since you've seen a car?
That's a good year.
I remember a bunch when they first introduced the next gen car. I saw a couple of cars being beached while they were still trying to figure out the ride height issues at, say, Auto Club or Vegas during the first half of that first year with the next gen car. But
this needs some.
I can't remember any cars getting beached last year due to not being able to get back unless they had like two or three flats. Which, I mean, getting back on two or three flat tires is never an easy task.
Right? No, of course not. I was literally talking about cutting down one tire and being high fatted and just. It's silly. I don't know.
I got you.
But going from pit road chaos, we're gonna go into talking about Spire Motorsports and the improvements that we are seeing on a week in the 2024 season. They are showing some speed as a team as a whole. I'm not just talking about the Cup Series. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be talking about something that Rumble hinted on. Raja Karuth winning his first ever truck race.
Woo! Let's go!
I like it.
Raja Mania is running wild amongst the NASCAR
Raja
community. And I don't know what it is, but he's got it. He is going to be a marquee name. That's my bold prediction on Raja Karuth. He is going to be a marquee name for NASCAR in years to come. This kid, he's only notched his first ever career victory in the Truck Series. And all of a sudden, his following and the amount of people that are just overjoyed and excited and just sharing anything that they can Raja Karuth related is just fantastic for him, fantastic for Spire Motorsports, fantastic for Hendrick. And it's, I'm looking forward to seeing what else this kid can do. I remember seeing some video clips of other NASCAR drivers who were actually watching the truck race and the celebrations they had to see Raja get his first win. And it's just a cool moment, and I wanted to get you guys' thoughts and feelings on not just the win, but do you think that because of the win, he is now being overhyped?
I think they need to settle it down a little bit. It's always the media that kind of makes these fresh and upcoming people just kind of like getting the spotlight a little too fast. They just want to let them get their heels dug in a little bit. I think Raja is going to be good with the limelight, though. He's going to get in there. He's going to win a couple more truck races and maybe even a couple years, maybe even next year, get an Xfinity seat. That would be amazing. I'm really happy for Raja. Raja, come.
Is he running the Hendrick Motorsports car for any of their Xfinity races this year? Because I know they announced a bunch of the Cup drivers, like William Byron, in the Xfinity Series race this weekend, but I didn't know if I saw his name on any of those.
Yeah, Raja, come hang out with us on the podcast, man. We would love to have you, man.
Great. Yep.
I mean, I'll tell you what, that kid's got some swagger about him, though.
Yeah, he does.
So I definitely agree to your point, Tino. You know. Ryan, what's your take on Raja?
I mean, I think he's got a lot of potential. The biggest thing is hoping that NASCAR and whatever teams he's a part of don't rush him up too quickly, because we've seen a lot of drivers who hit that sweet spot early and meet what NASCAR is looking for when it comes to a demographic, for lack of a better term. I mean, look at drivers like Micah Patrick and even to a lesser extent, Haley Deegan. The second they had any sort of eyes on them, it was jump them up as quickly as you can through as many ranks. And it's like, and it made it just near impossible for them to ever really meet up to the expectations early on. I think for Deegan, the expectations are a little lower now than they were a couple years ago when she was winning those ARCA West races. She won, what, 3 races that 1 year in ARCA? Or between 2 years in ARCA?
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure.
But, yeah. Yeah, I feel like the expectations after actually taking some time in the truck series, I've kind of mellowed out a little bit, and I think she's taking a good approach, going one step at a time. And even look at Harrison Burton. He tore it up in the Xfinity series for 1 year, and now a bunch of us are questioning whether or not he deserves the cup ride that he's got.
Yeah, absolutely. You start swimming in deep water there, right? ARCA is, I mean, the top shelf series, but you get up into NASCAR, our top 3 series there, and you're swimming in deep water. Everybody wants to be there, right? Everybody wants it's,
and especially when the media is hyping them up as the next big thing, the next right. Jeff Gordon comment. I mean, that was for a long time seen as the curse. I mean, Greg Galding, I think it was, or J.J. Yaley were both dubbed as the next Jeff Gordons at one point. And clearly we've seen how those have turned out.
Right.
Yeah. And one thing that I wanted to commend NASCAR for, not really talked about, but NASCAR has a drive for diversity driver development program. And yep. of the 9 events that's gone on this season, 4 of them are graduates from that program. Kyle Larson being one of them. Daniel Suarez.
Suarez, I was going to say that right away. Yo.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So, yep. big kudos to NASCAR. Diversity and culture and stigmatisms and things like that, that's been something that has kind of been against NASCAR in years of old, but nowadays I think they finally made the steps where it's not much of a big deal anymore, and it's kudos to that program. So hats off to NASCAR for putting the collective minds to get a bunch of drivers to go through that development program. And just all around, it's just great seeing excitement on all levels, not just on the Cup Series circuit, but getting excitement in the Xfinity Series, getting excitement in the Truck Series, and even some of the ARCA races have been pretty good as well. So I think we're in for a treat this year. Talent.
He definitely worked his way up, man. That's for sure. I mean, starting back from, like you said, the diversity program. And he did pretty well in that, getting 2 top 10s, ended up 13 in the semi-pro points. But he moved up to late models in 2020. He got a win right here locally, South Carolina, Greenville. Got a win right here, Greenville Picking Speedway, which is pretty cool to see. But seeing Roger Carruth win is awesome, man. Dude, that's really – I was hoping he would win Daytona when I was there, so.
he had his moments. He definitely did.
Yeah, he did. He was right there, so. It was just a matter of time, so glad to see it happen now, and hopefully he just keeps up the good work, man. Come join our podcast, Roger.
There's actually something I sent in the chat.
Yeah, somebody get a hold of that guy and tell him to come join the podcast, Roger.
I sent a link in the podcast chat. There's actually a link on his website that you can ask to try to get an interview with him.
Right, I already sent him an email, so hopefully he'll get back to us.
That'd be pretty sweet. That'd be pretty sweet.
Wouldn't that be something? All right, hell yeah. Let's do it. We should just bug the guy until he responds. Until his people respond. Just keep bugging him. Hey, we want to talk to you.
you think we can't get Rumble to shut up now? Just wait till we get a Roger Carruth on the podcast. We'll never right. get it. He'll be giddy year over year.
Anyways, that's why I asked about that, though, guys. I didn't know if you guys had touched on that earlier before I joined, and I just yeah. it was definitely worth talking about. So,
yeah. But to continue with Spire Motorsports, Corey LaJoy is the other name I'm going to bring up.
Yes, sir.
He's known as a restrictor plate driver. He's good at Daytona, Talladega, Atlanta, but you don't really hear his name too much in Mile and a Half, and you don't really hear his name too much in all the quote-unquote normal circuits. But even though he had a lackluster finish at the end, there's something different about that seven car this year. There is something different. I don't know if it's the fact that
seven was near the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, working with Hendrick, though?
No, I don't know if it's really working with Hendrick. I think it has something to do with Spire invested more money into this 2024 season, and I think they helps build their relationship with Chevy, which gives them more more sim time. I think that's a correct term.
Yep.
And like I remember hearing stories from his Counting Pennies podcast, where he would be begging people to give him more time to get into the simulators. And to the point where there was certain people, upper executives who would bump into Corey at the facilities and ask him, what is he doing there? And yep. just because he was looking to get that extra time any time he could possibly do it. But I have seen that they put more money into this year. I think that's helped better their relationship with Chevy. And I think that they're now, as a team, getting a little bit more support and more time in the simulators, which is now translating onto the tracks performances. And I think Corey LaJoy has been the impressive guy for Spire when it comes to the Cup Series. Definitely acknowledging Josevar, who was also a freaking flyer in the top 10, started 15th, finished 15th. Zane Smith, I'm sure he'll get some good finishes if he can just keep the darn thing on the track. But we'll get there with Zane. But what are you guys' thoughts on Corey LaJoy thus far in the season?
Corey, man, he's been doing pretty good so far. I think Corey can improve on his, top five most of the night run in Las Vegas and go on the Phoenix and possibly make a top 15 and just build on it and keep building and building, learning and learning.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to hop out of here. It's dinner time. The wife's over here cooking some food for me, so. Breaking fucking eggs, she says. So we're having breakfast for dinner. Anyways, conversation. I'll catch up with you guys maybe next week. I hope.
Nice having you, Rumble.
Nice having you, Rumble.
Cheers, gentlemen. Cheers. Have a great night.
All right. So back to the Corey LaJoy situation. What do you think, Ryan?
So one thing, and this is something I actually talked about when I was talking with a friend of mine about this race and about Spire Motorsports' performance in this race. It really does feel like they've gone and committed to one thing specifically this year, and it's to kind of prove the things that were said back in 2019 about this team wrong, which, if you guys remember back to that summer race where they won it with Justin Haley. I feel like, I know I said it on my race recap, I think Eric Estep said something similar as well on his race recap. It felt like a race without a winner because you had a driver who was part-time and a team that at the time we thought they were basically just here to ride around and collect a paycheck. They've proven, I think, at this point that they're there for more than just riding around and collecting a paycheck.
Yeah, and if they keep taking these baby steps and just building consistency, I might be as bold to say that Spire might become the fourth member, the fourth team that gets that the big Chevy perks.
Well, you've got RCR, Hendrick, Trackhouse, and then I guess the question would be, I mean, I would say Spire is definitely ahead of Calling on that track, being cup teams that were formed roughly around the same time, even though Calling obviously started with only one car.
Especially, yeah, but when it comes to road courses, Calling gets the better of the fortunes when it comes to the simulators and things like that, just because they just perform better around the road courses. They typically perform better in years past in the short tracks. So I think Colleague and Spire going into this year were neck and neck. And so far it looks like Spire's in the driver's seat to claim that fourth spot. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, if Roger Carruth continues his path, that'll even improve Spire. And maybe that would even help them get better equipment. So
yeah, for sure.
That's a positive.
Yeah, but we're at least, I would say, 3 years away. Three, four years away from that. Like, let's say in a world, Raja has a great Truck Series season. Then he gets bumped up to Xfinity the next year. Maybe he does one to two years in Xfinity, learning, building consistency. You could potentially, and I put that in potentials, you could potentially see Raja's rookie season in the 2027 NASCAR Cup Series season.
Well, and depending on how good this year does turn out, I mean, remember, Spire Motorsports, just this current year, elevated a driver straight from trucks to cup, off the back of a Truck Series championship with Zane Smith. Now, granted, again, we're seeing some potential stumbling blocks over a potential lack of development, and maybe a year in Xfinity would have helped him, but depending on how this experiment goes with Zane Smith, if he gets up to speed relatively quickly, I could see them making the same jump if, again, Raja was to, say, win the championship either this year or next year in trucks.
Well, what's the partnership with Hendrick? Like, since they have a Hendrick partnership, is he able to drive for them as well, or no?
Possibility, but the likelihood of Raja going to Hendrick instead of staying with Spire would be pretty drastic as of right now, considering the talent that Hendrick has.
Yeah, and again, kind of as we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about this where Hendrick's lineup is pretty well locked up for the foreseeable future. The only one with a contract expiring before 2025 is maybe Bowman.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. Even at that, like, he's not performing bad at all.
Consider
to other drivers, he's still above an above average driver. Maybe not to the fan base perception of it being Hendrick Motorsports and the criteria that comes with that. They're expecting all four drivers to be in the top 10, top 15, and anytime that they finish outside of that, it's like, oh, what's going on with this guy? He's slipping back. But all four drivers are very talented, and I don't see Hendrick making a change in the foreseeable future.
Now, one argument I would have to that is potentially I could see if Bowman suffers a third significant injury, I could see him taking himself out of that conversation early. Because I mean, he already suffered a season-ending injury 2 years ago, and then he suffered a back injury last year, mid-season. He was able to return, but he never really looked like he was back to 100%, so.
Yeah, kind of taking the Dale Jr. route.
If he does suffer a third significant injury, I wouldn't put it past him, and I don't think anyone would blame him.
No. but
health is first.
Yeah. So unless any of y'all got any more closing remarks on Corey LaJoy, actually, I do one have a little fun fact. Corey LaJoy actually had the 9th fastest lap time, average lap time. So nice. Just in case y'all were wondering, I'll go ahead and give you the top 10 fastest average lap times for Las Vegas before we transition to a different topic and then start focusing on Phoenix. So your top 10 in an average lap time for the entire race was Ryan Preece at 30.87, Tyler Reddick at 30.92, Bubba Wallace at 30.120. Then you had Chris Buescher, Noah Gregson, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Ross Chastain, Corey LaJoy, William Byron, and then Alex Bowman sitting in 11th.
Wow. Outrunning Corey LaJoy there.
Yeah. And again, that's just a tribute to Spire Motorsports and whatever it is that they're doing different for 2024. Spire, keep doing it, because it's obviously paying dividends on the track. So I'm just excited in general to see what else this season brings for that team in general on all levels.
Great weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for them. But I want to get into what kind of precedent do you think NASCAR is setting when they openly went out of their way to kind of showcase the Joey Logano gloves to show why that was a penalty, and more or less using a polarizing figure such as Logano instead of just saying, oh, the gloves thing, yeah, that he wore unauthorized gloves, and they could have kept it under wraps and just kept it at that. But they made it a point to have cameras zoomed right in on those gloves and show the webbing between the fingers and things like that. So what kind of precedence do you think NASCAR is setting to kind of use Joey Logano as that scapegoat, per se?
I think NASCAR is pretty much like airing out their laundry, just showing everybody exactly what mindset he had. It wasn't like, you know, he just pretty much just showing everybody what kind of glove that he had that we saw at Daytona that he used in the qualifying. Not many people knew, but he tried to hide it, and everybody was like, "What is that? What is that winged glove? It looks like a Batman glove or something."
And
it like
tossed out the window during his Daytona qualifying.
Yeah, it looks like he can land safely if he jumped off a building. If he just, you know, he can fly with them gloves. That's crazy, man.
Ryan, what's your thoughts on NASCAR doing that?
I think NASCAR went and did that mainly because I think a lot of us were asking, because I don't think a lot of us knew that the driver's gloves even went through any sort of super tight inspection. I mean, I think pretty much everybody I talked to when they first heard about that were like, wait, are you serious? That's actually something that's tracked? Because I think a lot of people had just never heard of that kind of thing happening before. And I mean,
yeah,
I don't remember there ever being a penalty for faulty gloves before.
Yeah, I mean, but
I don't think any other driver actually worn something else.
Yeah, I don't think any other driver's actually worn like web gloves though.
Yeah,
looking like duck feet on hands.
Yep,
but I don't know. I think that especially with the direction that NASCAR is going. They're trying to showcase no man is above NASCAR's rules. Doesn't matter how popular you are. Doesn't matter how many wins you have. Doesn't matter how many championships you got. Everyone needs to follow suit. Everyone needs to be coming into these races as fair as possible. And blatant avenues to get an advantage shouldn't be pushed under the rug. It shouldn't exist in the sport. And I can almost guarantee you, like, if any other driver was to be caught with it, bigger penalties would happen, and then people would be getting all mad, thinking that's why Logano didn't get the same penalty. But I think it was just a statement maker. And unfortunately, Joey Logano was the guy that the statement was placed on. But go look, three races into the season, we now have three races, technically three different types of races, where we've seen the three manufacturer groups partake in these events. So we have the Super Speedway of Daytona, we have the hybrids of Atlanta, and now we have the mile and a half of Vegas. So starting with Ben, which manufacturer do you think has been the most impressive?
I'm definitely going with Toyota. They've looked good. They've been consistent. Minus Christopher Bell. But everything else has been good.
Yeah. I mean, before we... I'll dig a little bit more into Toyota in a minute. Let's go Tino.
I think Chevrolet, obviously, is always going to be the top of the notch, boy. I mean, they didn't have to change cars over to a different car, and they're still on top. You know what I'm saying? Camaro, they have the old school, the still old school Camaro they're running. And obviously, Ford has the new Mustang Dark Horse. And Toyota's running that new Camry XSE, I believe it is. And, yeah. It just shows that Chevrolet didn't have to change any of their, you know, looks, and they can get the job done, baby. You know what I'm saying? Chevrolet all day, bow ties.
Well, I actually think it's also a bit of a statement, though, from Ford and Chevy, or from Ford and Toyota, I mean, that they were able to introduce a brand new body style and get up to speed this quickly, when the last time we saw Chevy introduce a all-new overhaul to their body style, it took them, what, a year almost to fully kind of get in the swing of things? I mean, Chase Elliott, it took him till almost August to finally win that first race with the new Camaro, and then he popped off for three wins, but besides him, the rest of Hendrick was still winless at that point.
Yeah. With
Johnson, Bowman, Byron, three drivers who, I mean, two of them are, I would say, are absolutely championship caliber. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, there's no doubt that he's a champion.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I would say I think Toyota so far has been the most impressive. Now, granted, Chevy has gotten the dubs, and ultimately at the end of the year, that's all that really matters. But especially when you look at last week's results, out of the eight drivers that they had in the field, four of them finished in the top nine, or top eight. You had Reddick in second, Gibbs in fifth, MTJ in seventh, and Denny Hamlin in eighth. Had Bubba Wallace's pit road issues not been in there, I could almost argue that he would have been in the top 10 as well. So that means that you could have had five of their eight in the top 10. You then have Eric Jones, who had a good day. John Hunter Nemechek having an average day. Then you got Christopher Bell, who couldn't get out of his own way. And it's one of those things, though, like, for a new car, to what Ryan said, for a brand new car built going into the season, like, Toyota, we know that Toyotas could push in the draft. They didn't necessarily have the top speed, but they could push. Now on mile and a half, they're showcasing great speed. 23:11 had the second and third best lap times for the entire race. And now we're gonna see what these different manufacturers can do at a mile course. And it's just astonishing to see the amount of speed that Toyota has brought with this new car and the impact that's having already three races into the season. So that's my take. I think Toyota's been the most impressive. Although Chevy's been getting the dubs here lately, I think the tide's going to shift in two races. So based on that, by the time Bristol is said and done, Toyota's going to be the victor of Bristol. That's my bold prediction come March 17th.
My bold prediction? Bubba Wallace will win.
I don't know. I think there's one guy you got to remember if we're going to a spring race on the concrete at Bristol. Kyle Busch. Can't be overlooked.
I mean, you're not wrong. Again, he's now being backed by Chevy, so we'll see what kind of difference that makes.
Yeah, but I mean, his track record at Bristol, no matter who he's driven for.
But what was his in majority of his top finishes there? Who's been his manufacturer of choice?
Toyota.
I mean, he had, as I say, back before in that infamous race, the first one with the next gen car with the wing, he won that race driving for Hendrick Motorsports and Chevy. So.
Can the Candyman win it over there at the Bristol? We'll see. They still call him the Candyman? I don't even know. What do you want to call him out
there? He's got all the bourbon and CHI or whatever it is.
Yeah, and yeah.
Team patches on his car now.
But I didn't necessarily realize that NASCAR did it this way, but you have just about every different track type in the first six races. You got the Super Speedway of Daytona. You got the hybrid of Atlanta, mile and a half of Vegas, the mile in Phoenix, the half mile of Bristol. Then you got the Circuit of the Americas.
Yep.
So we are, by the time Circuit of Americas is done, we will have a good idea of what each car is going to be able to do at all levels of NASCAR. And we'll be able to see what kind of season we're going to be shaped out for the rest of the season as far as performances, as far as which teams are getting off to the hot start, which teams got it locked in, and which teams, if they don't get it done by Circuit of the America, is going to have a rough year. But kudos to NASCAR for diversifying the track types right off the bat, to just showcase and see what each manufacturer group has to offer when it comes to the different track types. But with that, we'll go into our W Energy Bowl predictions for Phoenix. And Ryan, I know you had already placed your pick earlier, so we'll just go ahead and start with you.
I wanted to go ahead and grab up Kyle Larson since you decided to leak the script that he's winning this weekend. while you were talking about Larson having won, you said he won Phoenix, so thank you for letting me know, but I'll go ahead and take that one.
Yep, you're welcome. Kind of screwed the pooch on that one for me.
Yep. I didn't know you got the script from NASCAR. If you could give me the script for a couple other races, that'd be great.
You don't really know what I got.
Happy Friday this week.
All right. Tino, who is your pick for Phoenix and Ryan? If you can, jot them down and send them to Greg for us.
Yes, sir. So my pick for Phoenix, and we're going to go ahead and go against my bow ties this week for the sake of some consistency on his behalf. Ryan Blaney is going to win it here this Phoenix this weekend with a second place finish last year in Phoenix 1. I'm expecting him to run very well this weekend. If I had to put my money on anybody, it would be on Ryan Blaney.
He's also coming off of back-to-back third place finishes as well.
Who was the grand Ross Chastain? Was that
I don't know.
Who grabbed Ross Chastain? Because I know one of the two guys left early.
Oh, no, Tyler did. Tyler.
Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler took Ross Chastain. Ben.
All right.
Who was taken already?
Larson. Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
And then I don't know who all claimed their picks beforehand. I know Greg mentioned one or two drivers that were already claimed before the podcast. The guys who aren't here tonight. Brandon locked in Christopher Bell, so Bell is off the table.
I'm going to go with Blaney.
Blaney was just taken by Tino.
Oh, shit, I didn't miss that one.
Sabotage. Sabotage, I tell ya.
Sabotage, yeah. Was Reddick taken?
Reddick has not been taken yet. You want him?
Yeah, I'll take Reddick.
All right.
All right, and I got some points I need to make up. So who else to try to get rail in a comeback than going with the villain himself, Denny Hamlin?
Good old Boo. Denny. I'm
just joking.
Yep, taking the heat away from Kyle and turning it into a whole nother animal.
I just beat your favorite driver.
Yep. All right, so, and that's everybody's pick, so I'm just going to go ahead and send that in the chat so that Greg can hopefully get those written down, and hopefully we didn't duplicate with any of the other guys who aren't here tonight that went and made picks.
Yep. Well, and if so, I'm sure he'll let us know and we'll have to adjust. But before we end things, what are you guys expecting to come out of Phoenix? Is there anything in particular that you're looking to see? Any expectations you got for the race itself?
I mean,
I think it's going to be. Sorry, Ryan. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You can go first.
I was going to say I think that the racing's going to be, you know, outrageous. We're going to see 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 wide on the front stretch of the track where it spreads out, widens out there. I mean, it's going to be outrageous, you know, restarts. And, I mean, we may see some surprising wrecks, maybe even knock out some of the drivers that we may think win the race. So we'll see.
I just don't want it to end up looking like that truck race from November. Because I am all for chaos and calamity, but that was too far.
Yeah, but that seems to be the theme of truck races as of late, so.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I have to like it anymore.
What are your expectations for a Phoenix, Ryan?
My expectations are that, similar to some of the other short tracks, these tracks seem to be where the teams that bring the most horsepower to the track are really able to kind of use that horsepower to increase the acceleration off the corners versus some of the bigger tracks where carrying momentum and aerodynamics are a lot more important at the shorter tracks like this, and that's why I think an aerodynamic package change has been so hard to nail down for the short tracks, because I don't think aerodynamics really make a massive difference at the short tracks like this one, so I think it's going to come down to the horsepower, which team nails that horsepower package just right. And obviously it's going to come down to which driver is willing to make that move to potentially rough someone up to make the pass at a track where passing might come at a little bit of a premium.
Yeah, Phoenix is tougher.
Yep.
On the restarts, that's where the passing's really going to take place. Once we get all spread out,
exactly,
it's really just going to be how consistent you can run a lap and stay to the driver in front of you.
Like, if we go to overtime, then that changes the entire story, because mm-hmm. if we go to overtime, then you don't really have a chance for it to get spread out to the point where it will become hard to pass before the checkered flag's already flying.
Yeah, for sure. So, I'm looking to see who's got that consistent speed, who's able to manage their tire prep, their tires the best, and who is going to do the best is stay out of the way of the pit road blumbers and be able to go in and out and execute on all levels through pit road, on the track, being able to get around lap traffic. It's going to be interesting, guys. It really is. But on behalf of the Lap Down Podcast, once again, this is Jamie with Ben, Ryan, Tino. Thank you to Tyler and Rumble for hopping on. Shout out to our sponsors, Duke Cannon, W Energy, Sleeps, Dr. Squatch, Bulletproof Coffee, and Fanatics. Use the promo code SSPP10. When you use that, and then what is the percentage discount they get with the promo code?
For W, it is SSPP10.
And it's 10% off, right?
10%.
The number 10, 10. Yep.
But on behalf of everybody here at the Lap Down Podcast, once again, we appreciate you guys listening in, and I hope you guys are enjoying the content. Roger Caruth, if you're listening, get on with your boys. Let's have a great time. But for all of us, have a great week, fast living, and stay safe. Deuces!
Let's go, baby.